Once again, we'd like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 2. We've been looking at the healing of a paralytic man. We'll conclude that miracle this morning. Again, we'd like to read the first 12 verses, book of Mark, chapter 2. And again, he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he saith unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. We've seen thus far that Jesus was present at this house. We see this in verse 1. We also see present at the house that day were many needs. We see in verse 2, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. So we have the presence of Christ. We have the presence of many, many needs. And then our attention is drawn to five individuals in verse 3, and they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. Again, Luke says he was taken with the palsy, meaning that he was completely overcome with this. And this man was carried of four individuals. And these individuals, we gather some lessons on how we are to approach Jesus Christ. We see they came recognizing that there was a need. We see in verse 3, we see the word or the phrase sick of the palsy. We see it again in verse 4. We see it again in verse 5. We see it again in verse 9. And we see it again in verse 10. So five times we read that phrase, sick of the palsy. That is, this man was paralytic. He knew he was paralytic. He knew all the problems that involved. Those who carried him, whoever they were, whether they were relatives or friends, it doesn't really matter, but whoever it was that carried him, they certainly realized that he was a paralytic, that he could not walk himself, therefore they carried him. So they came with a recognized need. We also see that they came with a desire. Their desire was that Christ would heal this individual. And we also see from verse 5 that they came with faith. That is, they believed. They believed that Jesus was able. They did not necessarily believe that Jesus would heal this man, but they believed that he was able to heal this man. And in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. So their faith was visible. And we see that It was visible in what they did. That is, when they saw that they could not enter the door because of the multitude that had gathered, they climbed up onto the roof, they broke the tiles of the roof, and they let the bed down through the roof. No doubt took a great amount of effort, a great amount of energy, but they believed that the only one who could heal this paralytic was in the house. That is, Jesus Christ. Again, I don't necessarily believe that they believed that Jesus would heal this man, but they believed that he was able to do so. Again, it's the Lord's will. If he wants to heal somebody, if he's going to heal somebody, but we always believe that he's able. He's able to heal anyone, whether or not he will, that's his business. But he is able. There is no need beyond his ability. So they came believing that Jesus Christ was able. That brings us to the miracle itself. And really, the miracle is a twofold miracle. Notice in verse 8, whether is it easier to say the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say arise and take up thy bed and walk. We see that Jesus said in verse 5, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The very first thing that Jesus said to this paralytic was not rise, take up thy bed and walk. The first thing that Jesus dealt with was his spiritual condition. He forgave him of his sins. Now, this has caused many to assume that this man's paralysis was caused directly by his sin, and that might be the case, but I don't believe that we can assume that. But he forgave this man his sins. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that fact. So they all noted the fact that Jesus forgave this man of his sins, whatever those sins might have been. In Matthew 9 and verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. That is, be of good courage. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That is, right now, all your sins are forgiven. We saw there in Mark chapter 2 the same thing. And then notice in Luke chapter 5 and verse 20. Luke chapter 5, verse 20. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. So Jesus first healed this man's soul. And I believe that was the greatest miracle of that day, the most beneficial miracle of that day. Jesus could have healed the man of his paralysis, and the man could have still died and went to hell. But Jesus healed his soul. And spiritual healing is always more important than any physical healing that the Lord may grant. Again, the Lord grants spirit or physical healing to lost sinners, and then they may die and go to hell. But when he grants spiritual healing, there's no greater miracle. Now, one's just as easy for the Lord as the other. There are no difficulties with omnipotence. One thing is no more difficult than another. It's just as easy for Jesus to forgive sins as it is to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And he alluded to that here in Mark chapter 2. So this was the greatest miracle that took place that day, was this man had his sins forgiven. Now, as soon as Jesus spoke those words, thy sins be forgiven thee, the scribes. Remember, the Pharisees were there. The scribes were there. The so-called experts in interpreting law. The scribes thought to themselves that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy. Again, the only reason they were there was to trap Jesus Christ, was to call into question anything that Jesus would have done that day. And scribes and Pharisees are almost always present. You deal with them all the time. But we see here that they immediately thought to themselves, though they did not voice this, they thought it. And Jesus, of course, knew their thoughts. They thought that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy. Notice in Matthew chapter 9, verses 3 and verse 4. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." Then, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Such a thought was evil. Such a thought was wicked. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, immediately addresses the situation. Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Now notice Mark's account in Mark chapter 2 again, verses 6 through verse 8. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and they were reasoning in their hearts. And they were reasoning in their hearts. And here's what they were reasoning, or here's what they were thinking in their heart. Why doth this man, Jesus, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? Now that says something about their thoughts of Jesus Christ. They believed he was a mere man. They did not believe he was God. They knew that only God could forgive sins. And yet this man, Jesus, said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." So they immediately concluded, and rightfully so, that this man was saying that he was equal with God. And they, of course, not believing that Jesus Christ was God, immediately thought that he was guilty of blasphemy. In verse 8, "And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" Now that's a deep question. Why? Why? Why do you do this? Why do you think what you are now thinking, Jesus says? Why? Well, the reason, of course, was because of their sinful nature. The reason, of course, was because of their spiritual condition. And many times the Lord will ask, why? Well, many times the Lord will ask his children, why? And we need to really, truly answer those questions. Because every time Jesus asks why, that requires that you and I get to the root of the problem. And again, the problem is within ourselves. So Jesus said, why? Why do you think this way? Why do you think that I have blasphemed? And again, the only correct answer, the only honest answer, would be because of their sinful hearts, because of their sinful condition. So Jesus, first of all, heals this man's soul. And then, had he stopped there, this man's life would have been different. He would have gone home, still a paralytic. He would have still had to be carried home, but his life would have been different because his sins were forgiven. But Jesus did more. Jesus also healed his body. We see in Mark 2 and verse 11, after he addressed the scribes, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power or authority on earth to forgive sins," he saith to the sick of the palsy. So he spoke to the paralytic in saying, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." He was then interrupted by what the scribes thought. He addressed that. And now he's gone back to speaking directly to the paralytic. And he's, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house." As a result of this command, the Lord immediately gave the man the strength. The man could not arise. Jesus told him to do something that he could not do. We see this throughout the healing miracles of Christ. There is a common threat. Jesus is always telling these individuals to do something that they could not do of their own power, of their own strength. And that carries over to you and I as well. The Lord is always telling us to do things that we cannot do in our own strength, in our own ability. This is where faith comes in. As soon as Jesus said, "Rise," I believe the power to do so was there. The power, the enabling power for this man to arise was there. It's just like no man can come unto the Lord. But when the Lord effectually says, "Come," you can come because the enabling power to do so. Same here. This man could have struggled for a week to try to get up. He's not going to get up. He's not going to stand up on his own power. But when the Lord said, "Arise," he gave him the power to do so. And when the Lord tells you to do something that you think is impossible, he gives you the power to do so. Then he told him to do something else. He said, "Take up thy bed. Rise, stand up. Now bend over, pick up your bed." And then he told him to walk home. Three things that this man could not do in and of himself. But God, the Lord, gave him the power to do each of these things. Now I imagine when the four were carrying this paralytic to the place where Jesus was, I'm sure there were moans and I'm sure there were groans on his behalf. But as he walked home that day, I don't believe there was any moaning. I don't believe there was any groaning. I believe he was just praising and rejoicing. And I believe he rejoiced all the way home. He thanked God all the way home. I'm sure he told everybody along the way of what the Lord had done for him. And when he got home, he was able to walk in the door. He did not have to have anyone insist him. Jesus Christ made a difference in this man's life. And what Jesus had done was manifest to all that were gathered that day. Notice in Luke chapter 5, verse 25. And immediately he rose up. Remember, Jesus said, "Arise," and immediately he did not think about it. He did not lie there and say, Lord, I can't, I'm a paralytic. He believed, and immediately he rose up before them. That is all that were in the house that day. Now I believe the scribes, they're still upset about the fact that Jesus said their sins are forgiven. They perhaps didn't even see what transpired next. And took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. So we know all the way home, he glorified God. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the effect that this man arose in the midst of this multitude, that this man was healed in the midst of this multitude. They all record the effect that this had upon the crowd. Matthew states in Matthew 9 and verse 8, we're running out of time, that they marveled and they stood in awe and that they even glorified God. Mark and Luke state that the people were amazed and they glorified God. Luke adds in Luke 5 verse 26 that the people were filled with fear. And Mark and Luke both record that the people were mystified. Mark writing, we never saw it on this fashion. There in Mark 2 and verse 12. We've never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything quite like this. And Luke says in Luke 5 verse 26, we have seen strange things today. We have seen strange things today. And then one of the purposes of this twofold miracle, as is stated in Mark 2 and verse 10, was to manifest that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That Jesus Christ was God Himself. That being said, many times when the Lord does the miraculous, people get focused upon the miracle that took place. And what we need to focus on is the one who performed the miracle. Because every miracle the Lord performs, and He performs them every day in every one of our lives, every miracle He performs, He manifests His person. He manifests who He is. He manifests His greatness. So instead of getting all caught up in the miracle, what we really need to get caught up in is the greatness of the one who performed the miracle. And I believe we all fall short there. It is our tendency. It is our tendency to get caught up with the physical miracle itself. And we have a tendency to ignore or neglect the greatness of the one who did the miracle. And this man, again, went home different. Jesus made a difference in his life. Spiritually, he made a difference. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And he also made a difference physically as well. But he made a difference in this man's life. And this man went to where Jesus was. And he went home completely different. And he went home glorifying God. And that's how God's people are to always leave God's house. Glorifying God. If you don't, you've done it wrong. You've done something wrong. Every single time we ought to leave glorifying the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly